Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart to Heart. The Lord our God speaks to us in the heart, and He's mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. I love the works of the Holy Spirit, and I love the way He blesses us, and when He helps us in every way. He helps us to see what we can't see, do what we can't do, as we follow Jesus. I love Him. See, Jesus is the foundation of all things. You know, John put it this way, that in the beginning was the Word. And he points out that nothing that's made is not made without Him. Jesus made all of this. Everything, every animal, He made it. He spoke. The Lord spoke it, He did it. I love the way that the Godhead works. The Father, the Holy Spirit, and the Son of God. He represents God. He joins man to God. I enjoy my time with Jesus. I enjoy every day with the Lord. When I first got ready, I was about to ask the Lord to save me, and the devil came, or some demon came, or it was sent by Satan. I don't waste time with foot soldiers. When I fight Satan, I say, Satan, stop it. That shuts down the whole operation. You stuck the head, and that's the whole operation. So he came to me saying, if you get saved, you're going to be bored. My friends, I haven't been bored since. I haven't been bored since that moment. In all these years. And that was the third Friday in April, whatever day that was, of 1983. About 3 weeks away from my 20th birthday, I got saved. And I'm 58 now, so I'm enjoying the Lord. 38 years, more or less? A little bit more than 38 years, I've been enjoying the presence of Jesus. Now, the Lord put something on my heart, and everything that the Lord does is full of order. And the order of God is so beautiful to me. Now, the Lord our God subdues all things. And when he did our salvation, he did it perfectly. And we got to learn what we have and walk in it. It takes time to train people out of the world system into the kingdom of God. You have to think kingdom. And I noticed something. People that embrace the love of God, they have less trouble adapting to the order of God and the ways of God, learning the will of God, loving like God loves. They have less trouble doing so. Now, the less you love, the harder it is to enter in. To grow, it's just plain harder to grow from glory to glory. If you have the less love you have, the harder it is. The more love you have in you, the easier it is. Now, I'm talking about charity now. You know, that's one thing to have love. But charity is having love with the dedication to properly act on that love. See, charity is more of a verb form for us. That's what Paul was talking about. That agape love of God, that wonderful agape love of Jesus, full of redemption. When you see people out there, you want them saved, and you mean it. And then you say, some people rush out and try to get people saved. You know, when you first get saved, you tell everybody about Jesus like you're supposed to. But it's not, you don't know the ways of God yet. And you're, to the pure, everybody's pure. You believe everybody's just going to embrace Jesus if you just let them know that He is, and that He's a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. And it don't take long to learn that people are going to be people. And you and your dedication, I've heard that before. And you're trying to convert me, but I know I know more about the Bible than you, but they're not living it. You know, and sometimes they, you know, they are, but sometimes they understand. Sometimes life happens to people. And but that they let their fire go low, see. But when you go, when you run, when you have that fiery love of God in you, you know, don't let cold-hearted people put it out. Some people trim their lamp and let it, they don't let it shine like they're supposed to. They hide the light, try to blend in. Now they have a tough time if they ever enter into it. If they ever grow from glory to glory, it's almost like pulling teeth. But if you have that love of God in you, and if you go out there and try to do it in your strength, that's what happened to the people that tell you they know the Bible, but that you can't tell. they tried to live in their own strength. I'm not trying to shame people or hurt people, but I've watched, and that's what happens. Because, the apostles talked about this untoward world, ungodlike world that we live in. So now when you have that fiery love that Jesus shares with God, that you receive from Jesus, keep it alive in you. When others don't want it, you enjoy. I learned to enjoy the love of God. And most of the time there's a smile on my face. I got covenant laughter. And sometimes there's no smile on my face, but I'm enjoying God's presence. I'm talking to Him. People don't know that I'm always talking to the Lord. And I'm always ready to hear. I embrace everything and I hold on to it tight. And I try not to let anything slip. Sometimes it can happen. I might let something slip, but I try to hold on to it. I learned if you hold on to it, you don't have to let anything slip. I used to wonder how in the world did Kenneth Hagin remember so much? And then, you know, he was my teacher. I listened to him a lot. And that, come to find out, I started remembering a lot of stuff. I thank God for men and women of God that just embrace Him, you know. When you mean it, that's something. When you want to know God, don't let the cold-hearted world put it out. And you, one day you'll find the right people. You know, I embraced the teachings of Kenneth Hagin because when God was giving me messages, he gave me hope because his messages made more sense than most messages that I was hearing. And I always listened to the Lord. I didn't know what to do, so when God gave me a message, I preach it. And God will cause you to speak beyond your years. So I was around a lot of preaching, but when I listened to him, there was no stale doctrine in it. I mean, none. There was no stale doctrine in Kenneth Hagin's teachings and the people that he taught. You can listen to them all day, and it was good. You enjoy it. You didn't feel like, I just want to go eat lunch and forget about this. No, you want more. And the worst part of his broadcast was the very end of it. And when I got a hold of them tapes, I would listen to them. One run out, I put another one in. Sometimes I listen to the same one 3 times in a row and then put another one in. And the neighborhood heard what I was listening to. Because I had a shop in my back. I used to work on cars in my backyard in those days. And in the 80s. And I had a compressor, and I had to turn my radio up all the way so that when the compressor come on, I could hear it. So people down the street could hear Kenneth Hagin preach. Now, I said all that to say this. When you love God and you want to serve Him with charity, you want to be a blessing to people. If you ever learn to do it in God's strength, you'll never lose that covenant smile on your face. You'll never lose the joy of the Lord like so many have done. And you'll have such an easy time embracing the living love of God. The pain of this life, it'll fall away. The things you go through, the challenges of being healed, You'll embrace it and you'll master healing. I've seen, my pastor seemed to have mastered healing. And he has a healing gift and he trains in it. So when people do what they're, if you do something with what God give you, not only will you master it, but the Holy Spirit will forever cause you to be covenant appropriate and cause you to, he'll stretch you. He'll stretch you far beyond. You'll grow from glory to glory. He'll guide you into greater glories. And there are greater glories. No matter what you've done, and no matter how over the top the miracles were in your life, God will always cause you to, he can take you forward if you trust him. Now, the way God taught me trust, I have not heard many people talk about trust. The way I didn't learn trust but just a few years ago. Maybe 5 or 6 years ago. He showed me the difference between faith and trust. I thought it was the same. In the Sunday school class I taught, I said, in my old writings, I used to use faith and trust interchangeably. I said, but if I got it right, according to the meaning that God showed me, it was the Holy Spirit that caused me to get it right. Because I didn't really understand the distinction between faith and trust till around, I think it was around 14, 15, or 16, somewhere in there, the Lord taught me the difference between faith and trust. And I wish I put dates on my the writings that he gave. I'm going to start doing that again. And but anyway, nevertheless, there's a difference between faith and trust. I talk about another broadcast, but I'm going to proceed with what God gives right now. Now, the Lord subdues all things. He gave Adam 5 commandments. And first I want to look at that. That's Genesis chapter 1 verse 26. It says, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image, and the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Now watch this. Now he's talking to both of them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them. Now you might think he was just talking to Adam and Eve, because he said them. Actually, he's talking to Adam and Eve and all of their seed. Now receive that revelation. He's talking to Adam and Eve. And this same protocol goes to all of their children. How about that? Alright, read it again. And God blessed them and said unto them, and that them includes you, just like it includes me and my family and my descendants, as many as I have. He said unto them, be fruitful and multiply. Replenish the earth, subdue it, and have dominion over it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moves upon the earth. Now, so we got our jurisdiction is the earth. Let's dissect it. God blessed them, said unto them, be fruitful. I asked the Lord, what is your definition of fruitful? He said, to prepare yourself to give profit. The second statement he made, now this is not just to have children. See, God thinks of everything, and I can prove it, because before you get to verse 26, God thought of everything. In the restoration week, he thought of everything. He didn't leave anything out of his restoration of the world, of the earth, and his protocols for man. He said, be fruitful. Then he said, multiply. No matter how much you multiply, you are commanded by God to multiply. Jesus put it this way. He said, occupy till I come. Keep, go about doing good and keep doing good. Be fruitful. Multiply. Freely you receive, freely give. So, That's where he said, replenish. Refill the earth. Replenish the earth. Refill the earth. Not just with a bunch of people, but with the love of God, the knowledge of God, the wisdom of God, the counsel of God, the understanding of the Lord, the fear of the Lord, honor the Lord. See? Replenish the earth. Refill the earth. Don't just go out and have a bunch of people that's foolish. Replenish it. See, when God spoke this, I'm sure that God told Adam this. And Adam received all forms of revelation every time the Lord spoke one of these five commandments. These are the first five commandments. This is not an option. This is not a suggestion. Be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth. Then he says, subdue it. Now let's pause right here. There's something I want you to understand. The Lord subdues things. He keeps it where it can't get out of control. When God gives you something, an assignment, something to do, make it work. Make it go. Protect it. Bless it. The first thing I do when God gives me something, and I'm going to share my protocol with you, and I learned this from the Lord. Bless it. Speak life over what God has given you to do. You already have the anointing. If God tells you to do something, an anointing to do it comes with it. And you're going to do it in His strength. You're not going to be like the people that lost their first love. You're going to keep your first love and use your first love from glory to glory. And you'll never have a problem entering into the next glories, which means you'll never have a problem receiving and walking in and ministering the revelation, knowledge, and wisdom that God gives you. I've seen it so many ways. People that love God, they do it. And they never retire from it. They do it. They speak the word of God. They preach the word of God. They teach the word of God. They love it. It's their conversation. They're dedicated. Every time they speak, when I watch Kenneth Copeland, he's just glowing. He'll say something, then he'll give you that smile. That glory smile. Now look, I love people that stand in the gap, people that are watchmen. I love people that are motivated. They have charity. They do what they do, you know, they do what they're supposed to. I watch now I love ministers that tell it like it is. I love people that preach the truth. And I love the love of God. When people talk about the love of God and the revelations of the love of God, I know that they are following God. He says, subdue it, subdue the earth. Don't let the devil have nothing. That was a message God gave me. And I know that's double negative for you English teachers. I know you say, well, you're supposed to say, don't let the devil have anything. My mother was an English teacher. But God gave me a message saying, don't let the devil have nothing. And I know that's double, he know that's double negative. He wanted the message to get over to me. So don't let him have nothing. And the word, the scripture I used was Ephesians 4, I think 19, give no place to the devil. So don't let him have nothing, and don't let him tear up what you're doing. Bless the work that God has given you to do, and ask the Lord to pray God's blessings over it. Speak life to your body. Speak life to your ministry. Speak life to your assignment. You got to protect your body. You got to protect your mind. You got to protect your heart. Don't let anything hinder you. You got to protect your wife if you're married. You got to protect your husband if you're a woman. You got to protect your children, because the enemy will try to use another channel to aggravate you. Protect their health. Protect their wisdom. See, if you got a family that cooperates and yield to the Lord and study the Word of God, then it's going to be so much better for you to do the assignment. But if there are members of your family that's contrary, you got to protect their life, because the enemy will try to use them to get to you. Now, people who give you bad advice, for instance, and people that don't learn, they're neutral about the things of God. They've been neutered. You know, they've been neutered. They're instead of being thriving in the things of God, it really don't matter whether they go to church or not. It don't matter whether they study or not. They've been neutered. And when people are like that, don't expect much out of them. Love them, protect them, but don't let them get in your way. Or you have to deal with people that won't grow up. You know, sometimes people won't do what they should. This is where the wisdom of God and prayer comes in. Because when you have an assignment, you have to do that assignment. You can't, you know, Paul said, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily beset us. So people that won't grow up and do what they should do. And sometimes you got to make the hard choices. But guess what? I'm not the Holy Ghost. I don't have to tell you how to do it. And I don't really want to. But the Holy Spirit will give you wisdom for people that's a little contrary right now. Don't give up on them. Love them with the love of God. God loves them just like he loves everybody else. But let's say a child is on drugs and he won't come. He won't do right. He end up in jail. You have to deal with him or her according to the wisdom that the Holy Spirit would give you. You know, you may have to subdue some things, cast out devils, teach them the word of God, protect their life. But it may be all right to let them sit in the tank for a while, sit in that jail and think about their ways. I don't know. The Holy Spirit will give you the details, not me. I'm not the Holy Ghost. But I promise you this, when God gave me this assignment, I don't let anybody hinder it. Anybody try to hinder me from doing God's work, they wasting their time. Because God says, subdue it. And I told my wife, I said, there are times when the Lord will give me an assignment. I have to do it. I said, you got to share me with the Lord. And, I love you. I'm going to always be around. But I want you to, when the Lord uses me, at any time, if I stay on the phone longer, I'm not being disrespectful. I'm ministering to somebody. If we're together and I'm on the phone instead of talking to you, it's a need. You know, sometimes you just have to explain things. And when you stand in the gap, Jesus once said, even to the married, sometimes it's got to be as if you're not married. Sometimes you got to do the call of God. You got to do what God give you to do. And I watched my parents do this. And if you share your spouse with the Lord, they might be the one who ministers more than you, but you'll get the same reward if you help them do it, like my parents did. If my dad had to minister to people, my mother was patient. She didn't clown. Some women clown you, but she didn't clown my dad. And my dad was patient. When you walk in the love of God, things work. Okay, so subdue your life. Then he said this, and have dominion over the fish, over the sea, the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moves upon the earth. The way we have dominion, God calls it, he called us to be kings and priests. Even the women are kings and priests. And that was unheard of to the Jewish mind in those days. The mind of men, you know, women wasn't priests. They could be prophets, but not priests. Yes, you are. You're a priest now. Women, you're a priest and you're a king. You're not a queen, you're a king. So, as Jesus is, so are we in this world. When the Lord gives you something to do, you're a king. Even though you may not be a man. You still got to do God's work. You have all of these covenant rights. See, God was talking to them. Remember that. And not only Adam and Eve, but it didn't say God told him. He said God told them. It didn't say Adam by himself. He was talking to Adam and Eve and all of his descendants. Remember when it talked about Abraham paid tithes before the law? And then it said that the descendants that were in him, they paid tithes too, because they were in Abraham. Man, don't that just blow your mind? When God blessed, you know, he told Abraham, Abram, go to a land I will show you. Leave your father's house, your kindred, and your nation. He said, I will bless him that bless you, and I will bless them that bless you, and curse him that curse you. He was talking to not only Abraham, but everybody of covenant who will walk in covenant with him. All of his descendants were in it. But he was the point man. Then Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. That's where the covenant, they're the covenant line, see. And all the descendants of Jacob. If they choose to love God, they're in covenant. So we believe on Jesus Christ. If we stay in the love of God, we're in covenant agreement. That's the only way to be in covenant agreement. That's the only way to fulfill the law, the love of God. That's how we do it. And we live in his strength. Now, to subdue your life, to keep it where it can't get out of control. You know, when I asked him, what does it mean to subdue your life? That means to keep it from, it'll always be in order. Nothing can stop you from being out, nothing can cause you to be out of order when you subdue your life. And so God did the same thing. So in salvation, the Lord didn't just make us good. He made us just like Jesus. Now, when you look at the restoration week, it's full of the order of God. You know, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the waters. God said, let there be light, and there was light. It never said that the Holy Spirit stopped moving upon the waters. And one thing I always say on these broadcasts and on the radio broadcasts, that God is moving by his Spirit. One time he said, I'm looking for people I can bless. He's always moving, always in motion, the Holy Spirit. Just like that dove that came back with the leaf. She represented the Holy Spirit. That old loudmouth raven didn't come back. He went to and fro. Just like the devil, loud mouth. I'll find the leaf. I'll find it. He didn't find nothing. She found it. The dove found it. And when she went, she flew far as she could and came back. Noah had to reach his hand out of the ark and take her in her hand and bring her back in and wait 2 weeks or a week and then let her go again until she came back with the olive leaf. The Holy Spirit don't stop moving. But that loudmouth devil, he's always boasting what he can do. And he don't bring nothing but trouble. Okay, and God, verse 3. And God said, let there be light. And that was light. We talked about the glory. This was glory light. This wasn't see-through glory like I had in the other broadcasts. And by the way, today is February the 25th, 2022. It's a Friday night when I'm doing this broadcast. Nevertheless, God saw the light that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. Yesterday's broadcast, we talked about how God divides light. He chose the light and rejected the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. Order. You see that? This is the standard. All this this sets the pace of the whole restoration week. When Jesus arose, that was light. When Jesus was born, that was light. When he did it, when he did the Father's work, when he did his father, he went about doing his Father's business. That was light. Now Jesus came on the scene on the fourth day, which is Wednesday. But the covenant week reflects the. The restoration week reflects the covenant week. When the Lord said, let there be light, Adam was the light of the world. And then something happened. God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. Now this is the second day. And God made the firmament that divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day. That was Monday, and notice he didn't say it was good. On Monday, that's when the flood of Noah happened, okay? Okay, in the covenant week, not the restoration, this is the restoration week, but it reflects the... On Monday, that's when the flood of Noah happened. And God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together into one place, let the dry land appear, and it was so. God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called he seas. God saw that it was good. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, and the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself and upon the earth. And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass and herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit whose seed was in itself after his kind. God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the third day. The law and the prophets. And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the light from the day. Here's that division again. Let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. This is the fourth day of the covenant of the restoration week. Jesus came on the fourth day of the covenant week. See, once the flood of Noah happened, then we get the law. Then we get the law and the prophets, you know. So here it is, the fourth day. Let them and then continuing, verse 15, and let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth, and it was so.